Just want to take a moment before it gets too late. Just to take some time to make our requests known to the Lord. And for this moment, just in things pertaining to the church right here, us and what God's doing in this moment, I can think of relatives or this and that, but I'm not going to bring that in. Those are the things I'm praying for. But things pertaining to the church, and thank you, Father. I'm just going to share a few scriptures. It's a little different, but I'm going to have the mic available for you to come, if you feel so led to, a need that our church has, like nursery, children's church that's coming as kids will come, resources, sign, fix, anything you know. And again, and then spiritually speaking, there are material needs, there are spiritual needs. It's just like, I really want the Holy Spirit to continue to move in greater fullness and manifesting his gifts. It has just different dimensions. There's times when it's amazing. I have felt the anointing really strong, and someone was instantly healed right in front of me and just watched it right before my eyes. Other times, well, they recovered, and other times nothing happened, you know. But I continue to pray for the work of faith with power. That scripture in Thessalonians, that's God's word is a lamp to our feet, but it's also a lamp to our prayers. It gives guidance, like, wow, that's what God will do. But there's a prayer. We've been earlier going down that road. Paul said, I know that through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit, this is going to turn out for my deliverance. It took prayer. And when you pray, God supplies the Spirit. Sometimes when you don't see things happening, it's because God is probably requiring fasting to be added to our prayers. And there's a greater release of the Spirit of God when we fast. And so we're not always willing to do that, but I just pray that there's just a greater conviction and a willingness on our part to do what's necessary for the presence of God to be stronger in my own life. And Philippians 4:19, some of y'all have that memorized, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So here's a word that he's giving to the Christians in Philippi, that church, and he's saying, my God, your God, he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How does God do that, you know? We declare it, and that's important, but the greater percentage of the way that God does that is through prayer. And did you know that the riches of his glory, you know, we're part of that? You know, has someone ever given you money, either secretly or handed it to you, and it met your need? And you were praying about the Lord. Well, he did that. It was according to his riches, because it's all his anyway, right? We're stewards of the finances of God and prosperity comes from him for his people, promotion. Well, when God touches someone's heart to give finances to somebody, he just did that according to the riches of his glory. And so if you need a scripture for that, I think it's in Ephesians 1. In that prayer, you know, powerful. And you're like, wow, the riches that we would know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And through that, God will also supply the needs. But then again, outside of that, he supplies our needs through the Holy Spirit too, in a different way. But that scripture, he'll supply all your need. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Y'all, I wouldn't do this if I wasn't led to do that. And I just was sharing with Rhonda. I said, I felt that we're to do this Wednesday night, and then I have something else. So I'm just staying open to the Spirit of the Lord. Because remember, some things people are not having because they're not asking. That scripture in James 4, I think, you have not because you ask not. And then those who were asking in that case, they didn't receive because they asked amiss. Their motive for their asking was off. It was so that they can get from God and consume it upon their own lustful desires. So God wasn't into that. So he didn't answer their prayer. Matthew 6, verse 6 through 8. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father. That's what he's saying. Pray to your Father. You know, we don't just talk about it. It's important that each of us have a prayer life. And there's a place, though we can pray on the go and all of that, Jesus is saying there's just something special when you shut everything else out and you go in secret and pray to your Father who sees in secret and look at the blessing. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And that's when people give a testimony. You know, this was going on. I was praying, and God did this. It's like an open reward. Amen. He said, and when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, don't be like them. For your Father, here it is, he knows what you have need of. There's the need. So back to Philippians, my God shall supply all your need. And here Jesus is saying, go into your secret place. Pray to your Father who's in secret. And don't pray like the heathen, all these vain repetitions, just repeating things, you know, and some of them aren't even in a relationship with the Lord. They just say prayers. But we pray to God out of a relationship with him. And so Jesus said, for the Father knows the things, he knows the things you have need of before you ask him. See, he still requires. He knows what you have need of. I've heard all kinds of statements from believers that are just not scripturally based, you know, about things like this. Some are like, all you got to do is just pray one time. I'm like, not. Jesus did not teach that. You're very fortunate if he answers you when you pray one time. And sometimes a prayer is very urgent. It might be 15 minutes long, and he answers. But a lot of times Jesus, what he taught is when he said, ask and you receive, before he said that, he taught a parable about persistence. And so what he was saying was, ask and keep asking until you receive. If you're persistent, he will rise and give to you as many as you need. As in Luke chapter 11, he taught the same thing in Luke chapter 18, teaching a parable that we will not lose heart, but that we should pray always. He taught a parable in Luke 18 that men, women ought to pray always and not lose heart. And then he gave a parable about that widow who went before an unjust judge saying, "Get justice for me." This guy did not fear God, and he had no regard for people. He could care less. But Jesus was teaching something totally opposite of his own nature, his father's nature, to show us that this unjust judge finally got up and got justice for that widow because of her persistence. And that's what he said within himself. Gee, this widow troubles me. She is wearing me out. She just kept coming. It was like a steady drip of water. When I was in Missouri, our family, they had to build some rooms in the basement. And I noticed, it was dark down there and stuff, but on the floor, there's no flooring except just basement cement. But I noticed this one spot, and it looked like water was just popping up, like a little drop of water, boop, boop, just like that. And I walk over there, and the cement was cracked a little bit. I'm like, "My, what is wrong? It must be pressure. It's just pushing water up." And I'm looking at this thing, just boop, and then I'm like, that's where it's coming from. That little drop of water put a crack in cement. Not one drop. Not even 100. It was a continual dripping. There's a proverb about how a soft tongue can break a bone. And you put all this together, that widow kept coming to this unjust judge. And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God, whose nature is good, who has regard for people, get justice for you? Hear your prayer, answer your prayer to those who," and but he put a prerequisite there, "who cry out to him day and night, day and night." See, that's persistence, like that drip. It's like somebody, I don't know, they titled some message, "Wear God Out Until He Answers," right? So here Jesus is saying, God's going to reward you openly. But he knows what we have need of. So in a moment, you just think about a request. It's not a long prayer. I just want to give you opportunities, the body, for our church. And just let's let our requests be made, and this is what he said, be made known to him. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, famous scripture, verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing. You know, when Elder Will and Elder Russell in search for a pastor and waiting, I mean, their attitude was, we're trusting God. We're not going to stress over this. God's got somebody. Or just different business matters they had to do. But it was the attitude was just a very noble. And it was one of just trusting God and doing their best to live in a state of peace. But how many of y'all know that can be challenged, right? You know, you can get stressed and things get down to the wire. But I want to live in that realm. I don't all the time, but I want to. And I see that in some people. You know, Christy, I'm like, gee, I wanna walk in that level of trust. The more we trust God, the more he keeps us in perfect peace. I had a very unusual experience sitting over there when I was a younger one, and like maybe during worship or right after, and I'm sitting there, all of a sudden a state of perfect peace came over my mind, and I was like, what in the world is this? It was so good. You know, the sad thing is it only lasted about maybe a minute and a half. But the Lord was like this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, it's a Psalm 34:8, I think that is. Oh, taste and see. There's a lot of things to taste of the Lord. And you'll see, whoa, that's good. Even Peter, by the Spirit, borrowed that scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow by it, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is good. How many of y'all tasted that the Lord's good? Yes. We want more of that, don't we? So be anxious for nothing, verse 6. But in everything, by everything, it's out there, by prayer, supplication is earnest petition. By prayer and supplication, look what he said. Let your requests, your need, be made known to God. He wants us. He knows what we have need of. We just looked at that. Jesus said, assignment from his Father. His doctrine wasn't his own. He spoke what the Father gave him to speak. And up there, however they did that, because you know Jesus is eternal. He was born of a virgin. That's when he became flesh. And as he came to the place of ministering, he had the messages that the Father wanted to give to us. And so up there, before he became flesh, the Father, this is one thing I want you to tell them. I know what they have need of before they ask me, but they need to ask me. And I want you to tell them they need to be persistent with me. Okay, son? Yes, Father. And he taught that. You know, not that it was done that way, but y'all get what I'm saying. He spoke what the Father gave him to speak. And so we learn these things. The scripture's given to us. We learn from that, and then we put it into practice, and so we'll experience that. God knows what we have need of here in our Hosanna family, right? The word says, there's a psalm that says, in the day of your power, volunteers will be given to you. I believe we're at the brink of the day of our power, meaning God manifesting more and more, and people will come. And so we're praying that God will touch people's hearts that want to, whether it's nursery, they're pure-hearted, they have the ability to do that, they care. And, you know, even now, during our worship, and they can, you know, they're got that baby or that little toddler, and they just can come in and out of this worship atmosphere, you know, and prophesy over these little kids. It can be so creative in what God can do. Oh, my word. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and there goes the benefit and the peace of God. See, we have to choose to refuse to be anxious. So I went through a season, a long one. I put my requests on a sheet of paper, especially things that were really, really important and we needed an answer. And I would fold that piece of paper and I put it in a spot. And throughout the day when I would come home or doing the dishes or this and that, I would see it because I made it very noticeable, and it was a reference point for me that even when I was tempted to worry or to fret, I was like, nope, he's got my request. He's got it, and he cares, and I'm gonna keep praying about that, and God's gonna answer that. And he did. Not every one of them. I'm still waiting for a few like you are. So let your requests, your needs, the things you and I have need of, we're supposed to make that known to him. So again, I've heard believers say, well, you know, you don't need to do that because God knows everything already. I'm like, you're wrong. You know, Jesus said, though he knows it, we're still required to make it known to him through the voice of prayer. Isn't that what the word says? And it brings us into a lifestyle of prayer, into that relationship. A friend of mine told me years ago, needs, I forget the first part, but I remember the most important part. Needs are designed to draw us closer to God. And God just uses all these things to bring us into a closer relationship with him. Our witness grows, our testimony expands, and he gets more glory from all of that. Mark 11:24, because he gives another prerequisite to answered prayer. It's interesting. In this one scripture, he says, you, five times. So do you think he might be saying something to you? Look at that. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Five times. He's like, Jesus, you're talking to me. And let's get what's he saying? Whatever things you ask, so here you come with your need. You're supposed to make it known to him. And you're going to ask him to meet that need. If you don't receive it right away, remember Jesus said we need to be persistent, right? But there's that thing that just grabs you. He said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you what? Will find. You know? And God's perfect. So when I'm not finding, I mean, if we want to find fault, it's got to be on me, not on the Lord. It's got to be an area that I need to grow in, or my faith. One time the Lord specifically, it was so clear, you would think it was an audible voice, but it wasn't, just the Spirit in me. And he gave me a little message through the Spirit. He said, Raphael, I need you to believe that what you're asking me to do, I'm going to do it. I need you to believe me. And it really got my attention because evidently I was praying with not 100% faith. So he was like just, you know, lifting my faith up there, getting it higher. So I just had to do it. And he gives... How many of y'all know God? You know, remember when you have little kids, if you had them, you're just getting them. And how many things God teaches you through those little kids, right? My son Tim, he's probably maybe 8 years old, is amazing. He comes home from school. I was already home. And he just comes in the door. His daddy, did you get my surprise? Did you get my surprise? I'm like, what's he talking about? It's not Christmas, not birthday, nothing. He just, did you get my surprise? I'm like, no, Tim, what are you talking about? I didn't say I get you a surprise. And it was over. Second day, the next day, I'm home. He comes in the door. Rhonda brings the kids home. Dad, did you get my surprise? Where's my present? I'm like, Tim, what are you talking about? I didn't have a clue. No, I didn't get you a surprise. Third day, God is my witness, comes in that door. Dad, where's my surprise? Where's my present? Tim, no present. I'm sorry, you know. But man, that really got to my mind. Y'all know what I did the next day? I got him a present. He come home from school. Where's my surprise? It's right here, Tim. And I'm like, God set me up. His son, I want you to be like that with me. I want you to have that level of confidence. And when you ask, you're looking. Because I said, I'm going to give it to you. You come, God, where is it? I'm looking. Amen. I mean, that's like, gee whiz. Just want to keep, well, I'm being encouraged. Are y'all being encouraged? Amen. You know, when I put this in my notes, I thought of my dear friend Wanda back there. You know, I don't know how many pharmacists you all ever go to, but she put a scripture on my little prescription thing, and she still does it, and I love her. Gee whiz, what a gift. But here's one scripture. During my illness, I would take my medicine home, and like, gee, she wrote me a note. And so 1 John 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. We just got to focus on that. The confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. It didn't say what it was yet, but it just says, this is the confidence we have in him. Here it comes. That if we ask anything according to his will, what's the confidence we can have? The next verse, then we know that we, what? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's the first part. It's going to go into another part. The first part is, if we ask anything according to his will, I'm going to back up. My God shall supply all your need. Basic to the will of God always is what you have need of. That simple. If you have need of it, genuine need, that's the will of God. Well, you just start right there. It builds up onto that and gets into other things. Brother Michael needs healing. I mean, God's probably using you to help us exercise our faith because he was just healed with his knee. And now he hurt his back and his wrist. So here he is. Well, what was interesting before the service, I'm over there praying like you, whoever was or whenever coming here, and with a desire, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. It goes on in 1 Corinthians, where that's 1 Corinthians 14. It even puts an adjective, it's an adverb, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. But earnestly desire, not so you're being used by God for all that yuck stuff and pride, you know, that's horrible, but for the sake of a healing. I know what it's like to live in pain. And my heart goes out to somebody in pain. But again, because I love Mike, that's not enough to heal him. You need the power of the Spirit of God, amen? And faith works through love. It's a beautiful thing. And so when we're praying, God manifests the gifts of your Spirit. That's a request, isn't it? And we make that known to God. So it's the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, what's the confidence? Number one, he what? Here comes the second thing we have confidence. Go to the next verse, please. And if we know that he hears us, hey, he's hearing, he's listening, then we what? Know that we have the things that we have asked of him. We have. See, it's that faith. It's like Tim coming, where's my present? The guy's like, he knew he was going to have it. That was God. I can't, like, just set me up on that. So if we're praying according to his will, we know he hears us. Basic to knowing the will of God is what you have what? Need of. Always. And the Father knows what you have need of before you what? Ask him. You're still required to ask. So I need to wrap this up because we're going to do this tonight. I love this. One last verse. John 14:13. And I need to say, it's really important because John 14 goes right into the vine parable, John 15, about abide in me and I in you. And the Father's gardening us as we abide in Jesus. Beloved, it's in that context of abiding in him where Jesus is giving us a promise, and whatever you ask, I'm going to do it. In other words, Christians who are abiding more steadfastly in the true vine, Jesus, will have their prayers answered more readily than Christians who are sporadic. They're out, and then they come, you know. This abide in me means live in me. It's a constant thing. And don't take for granted and think every believer is always abiding in Jesus. It's not true. You look at some of the things they do or that we've done, you weren't abiding in Jesus at that time, you know? So it's a constant thing. And remember, I've challenged you as the Lord's challenging me. Lord, help me to abide in you. That little bubble thing I showed you, the level, Lord, help me to abide in you. Because anytime the word said this, I gave you an example, he who answers a matter before he hears it is folly and shame to him. So if I see something, it's that see, thought, judge cycle that's horrible. We're born with it. It happens so fast, doesn't it? Lightning speed. So it's going to take the word to, when you see something, to not cast judgment on that real quick. You can see somebody carrying a bottle of whiskey or something and just think, oh, and pass judgment on that guy when, in fact, he might have just picked it up and was cleaning the sidewalk. You know what I'm saying? We see, a thought comes, we are not to be quick with our mouth. But we can do it at home. Or who did that? I know who did that. You know, just little things. But when we're doing that, we're not abiding in the word. We didn't abide in Jesus in that moment. Don't take that legalistically. If I, oh, Rhonda did that, you know. I'm still in Christ. I'm still in him. But in that moment, it's not like you're abiding. They're not seeing Christ in me manifest at that moment. John 14:13. This kind of sums it all up right here. And we're going to just take a moment and we're going to make our request made known to the Lord. And whatever you ask in my name, and this teaches us to be specific, that will I do. And here comes another that the Father may be glorified. I mean, this is beautiful. In the Son, whatever you ask, in the context of what we talked about tonight, even with our need, making it known, we're asking the Lord. Jesus said, that is what I'll do. So if I just say, oh, Lord, I just want you to bless Brad today. How specific is that? You know, we have to exercise our thoughts and be specific. In what way, Father, do I want you to bless Brad? Where does he need to be blessed? Rather than just, oh, just bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him. So specifically, we make our request known. We think about that and we articulate it and we bring that to the Lord. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And here's another reason, that the Father may be glorified through it. Amen? So if you would, And if you're willing, and if you don't come up, that's okay. But Russell's more aware of just basic needs. I'm going to pray. And just something just like this. And that we'll all be in agreement, right? We'll just agree. And I want to see these things take place. Even to have an usher. You think about ushers that would come. There's things that can be done. Shoni Boaz, she said, you know, I'll make sure tithe envelopes are out there. You know, just little things where everything's in place. We need another sound person, right? So that responsibility can be shared. It's called shared responsibility. Amen. Russell, come on up. Does anyone else know? Just you be willing to come up here and just, Lord, we're going to make this request known to you spiritually for the church. It's nothing critical. It's just, Lord, we ask you to provide. So I'm going to start right here. And what's good about this, you don't always have music when you pray. We're just going to do this. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Father, we're going to put into practice your word right now. And we come to you as a source, as our provider, as the Almighty God who can't lie because you're trustworthy. You're faithful. You're faithful to your word. You're faithful to your promises being fulfilled through and in by Jesus Christ. Lord, we have needs in this body that you've called us to. Just like the Israelites, and there was a need to build a tabernacle, and people were willing to bring their sustenance, whether it's gold or silver. You provided workers to build. And so, Lord, we're looking to you, Lord, to meet the needs of this fellowship, both materially, Father, financially, and spiritually, Lord. And I just bring to you, Father, would you supply more of your Holy Spirit to work miracles, not just to have miracles, God, but we need miracles in our lives, the miracles of healings that will restore, and you'll be so glorified through Jesus Christ, and the testimonies that will spread, God, that will just pique people's curiosity and say, wow, God's doing something. And they'll bring their sick, they'll bring the handicapped, and more people will be saved. Lord, history will repeat itself like in the book of Acts. So, Father, my request, ours, that we agree together, is that you would supply more of your Spirit in our gatherings, Father, and draw more and more people to your house, because your desire is that your house will be full. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, what my brother just prayed is on my heart as well. We're asking for miracles, not just to have miracles. We're asking for changed lives. We're asking that your kingdom grow through the application of your word. We're praying, Lord God, that we would be people of your word, that we would believe your word, that we would apply your word each and every day. Father God, I know that as your son and as a spiritual leader, every day I need wisdom, knowledge, and discernment and understanding, not for myself, but for everyone, Lord God, that is under my sphere of influence and my authority, that it be you that ministers to them. Father, we need as a congregation to be people of the Word and people of our Word. And Lord, in doing that, in walking in that, that you will be glorified and that they will know that you are doing something here, not man. We want you to get all the glory. We want you to be raised up, lifted up high, that when people come on this ground, it will be holy ground because it's been dedicated to you. And that we're believing, Lord God, that if you be lifted up, you will draw men unto you. That's what you said. So help us, Lord God, to lift you up, to lift up the name of Jesus. Just like this banner at the top, right here above these crosses, Lord, years ago, I walked into the sanctuary and there were flags all around here. The flags of the nations were there, but your name was not higher than man's kingdoms. And so, Lord God, you put it on my heart and said, Russell, my name should be the highest thing in this sanctuary. And there it is, Lord. It's been there for 24 years. And you are Savior and Lord. It has to be in us, Lord God, that we know our Savior. We know He is Lord. And Lord God, in that truth and in believing it with all of our heart, that people will know when they walk in here that we are true to our word. We're not just playing church. We're not just saying things. You say love in word and deed, Lord. I'm praying that you will bless us with much so that we can bless those who come here who are in need. There are so many people I know already, Lord God, that need the basics of life. And they should be able to get that from your house. They should be able to get that from your kingdom. They should be able to see that we care about them so that whenever we speak the word, they already know that we care about them and that they will receive it in the right spirit and they will become givers themselves. Help us to be givers, not just receivers. Let us be conduits, Lord, so that this city sees something different. It isn't just for our people in these walls. It's for the whole city and beyond as you make it possible. So, Lord, we're asking so that we can give. We need more so that we can give. And in the midst of it, you will receive the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And your house will be full. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, you said you'd build your house and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we just lift our voice and say, yes, God, build this body. Build your house, Lord. And we thank you that you're a wall of fire, you're a shield round about us, that you're our great reward, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hosanna family shall prevail, shall be fresh and flourishing. Oh, that shall become strong and vigorous in the truth, as Russell just prayed about knowing the word and growing in it, becoming strong and vigorous in the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Anyone else? And Will's here. We're just making our request being made known to the Lord. And we also want to pray personally for people.
Yeah, I want to just talk about the process a little bit. When Raphael prays, he prays these beautiful, full prayers, right? And when Russell prays, he does the same thing. He prays these beautiful, full prayers. And I don't want anybody to get intimidated. So that if we were going to have a picnic, and I said, what do we need? And I'd say, we need buns. Somebody else might get up and say, we need hot dogs. And somebody else might get up and say, we need mustard. So if you have just a one sentence, a real pinpoint prayer, that works, that counts. And I just say, just line up and it can be quick. So for me, my prayer is that, you know, I heard the word that was spoken over you on Saturday about a week ago, saying you're going to see things that you've not seen before, but it's God. And so here's the request. The thought is I believe that God has got things for Hosanna to do that we don't even know what it is yet. And we don't know what we need to get to that place. And he's saying, you need things you've not seen so that you can get where I'm going to get you to that you don't even know what it is yet. So, Father, we ask you for the things that we've not seen yet, Lord, that you can get us to the place that you need us to be, that you want us.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come on up, Margie. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I don't know if this is exactly what we're doing tonight, but it's just on my heart to share this, so I'm going to do it, and if it fits, it fits. If not, throw it out. There are a lot of needs, and most of them spiritual. We want the people to come in. We want, but I know Rhonda, my sister, several of us want the church to look nicer, and there are physical needs here too. And I don't have the solution for that, but I want to share a little testimony. Is that okay, Ralph? Okay. Russ and I have been married for 45 years. And all but two of those years, we were blessed tremendously financially because Russ always had a good job, started in the bank, and it was always big companies, and they could do that. And then there were the 2 years where things at his work changed, and he was put on only commission, and we went from the big house to an apartment. And that was fine. We had never lived in one. It was kind of fun, but still, things changed drastically. And I thought, you know, I've always been so grateful. Russ will tell you, I tell him thank you 100 times a day because I knew he was my provider. I never had to work, and I was grateful. So that's wonderful to be grateful for your provider. But during those 2 years, I would come to church, and there'd be a $20 bill on the pew. Well, we had always been the ones giving, you know? So it was one day when Russ came home with a grocery bag from the dollar store that a lady had given and said, bring this to your wife. And I started pulling the items out, and it was a shampoo and toothpaste, but not just anything, no. It was my brand of shampoo. It was the toothpaste I loved to use. And I was just so overwhelmed. And I said, how did she know this? I said, I don't know. So, of course, called and thanked her. But what God taught me during that time period was this. And he spoke it to my heart. And he said, Margie, because that's what he calls me. He said, Margie, I have loved you too much to let you go without knowing this one part of my character. I supply all your needs, not your husband. You can be as grateful as you want, but it does not come through your husband's effort. It comes from me. And so is that okay? I learned so much about God in that one thing he spoke to me. So for anything we have here, I don't want us praying that God will bring wealthy people in, because I know that's not the answer. He can supply all of our needs, spiritual and financial, if we just look to him directly.
Okay. Amen. Thank you. All right. Thank you. So, Lord, we just thank you for that testimony, and that you're bringing us into this place as a body, Lord, to depend upon you and to be become a people persistent in prayer, and to see your hand at work. So much praise awaits you, God, in that as we see you meet all of our needs, as we're asking you to, amen. You know, that's what I hear in that testimony, is that here we are. You know what? There's a temptation. Sunday was glorious. The Lord showed me that like 3 days ahead of time. And I shared that with the elders, and he helped me to know there's going to need to be a push in prayer in the Spirit for us to come into what God's making possible. It's a supernatural encounter. And I heard of other intercession, even today, that someone I didn't send, because I send the word out to some people that I know who will pray. And it was marvelous. I got so many testimonies rolling in. It was a taste of what's to come and what will happen in that atmosphere. You know, I would have loved that again tonight. You know, you cannot duplicate or try to. That's a wrong thing. You know, that's when you start leaning on what the Bible calls the arm of the flesh, you know, or coercing or manipulating, you know, hype and all of that stuff. But, you know, tonight I had two ways to go, and I'm just like, Lord, highlight it. And so to me, this is what the Lord wanted us to do. As much as I heard about last Sunday, I'm hearing this, and here we are. And God is encouraging us, be a people of prayer. Keep coming to him with your requests and for this church to meet every need. Amen? Let's just, we're going to pray for you, Mike, okay? And let's just, I love what Paul said, making requests with joy. How many of y'all want Mike to be healed? Amen. And having God to be glorified, you know? Amen. And we're going to pray with joy. Just as you lay hands, it's his lower back and his wrist. I'm sorry, what? Absolutely. Come on up here, Ms. Wanda, my sister.
And just to bless people, these are two things that God shared with me a while ago, and it kind of changed the way I pray. The first thing was he gave me a vision when I was in high school of going to prom. And I went to my father, and I asked my father on Monday if I could have the car on Saturday for prom. My father told me yes, and all week long I thanked him for giving me the car. I didn't go back and ask him again on Tuesday. I didn't go back and ask him again on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. I knew when he told me Monday that I could have the car, that the car was mine. And he gave me that. I continued to thank him because I knew he gave me his word that I could have the car. And that's one of the things that God gave me in a vision. And it just changed the way I prayed about things. When you lift things up before the Father and you receive them, it's a done deal. And the other thing was, I lost that thought. When I got saved, when I came forth and I got saved as a believer at 15 years of age, and all we did was say a prayer, that didn't make sense to me because in my mind I felt like I had to do something. But God keeps reminding me that the same faith that you use to receive me for salvation, you use that same faith for everything else, for your healing, for your supplies, for everything. So that has changed the way I pray when I come before the Lord now. And it's those two things that dramatically shifted the way I received from him. When I got saved, I just remember, how can I be saved just by making that confession that I'm saved? You're saved by faith. And everything that you receive from him in prayer is by faith. And every time I start doubting that, he takes me back to my altar when I got saved at 15. You're still saved. You received it then. Everything that you ask from me, you have to receive by faith. So I just wanted to share that with everybody. That's, it's not really about how you feel. It's about thanking him and receiving it by faith. And if you can't do anything else but just go back to the altar when you got saved, when you became a believer, that was by faith. And he just continues to remind me of that every time I come before him. And it just changes the way I receive from the altar of God.
That's beautiful. That's what, Wanda, I want to share. Thank you so much. Isn't she precious? I told you all that, you know. And amen. Let's pray for, praise God. Oh, with joy, Lord, right now we call upon you. You are the healer. And you said signs will follow those who believe. They'll lay hands on the sick or those that need to be healed, and they will recover. They will recover. Everyone say, he will recover. Amen. By the Spirit of the Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that you're in our midst. You're joyful about this, our gathering tonight. Oh, we thank you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Michael, be healed. Let's just say that together. In Jesus' name, be healed, Mike. Praise the Lord. God, we just want to thank you. They laid hands on the sick, and they recovered in Jesus' name. His back, his wrist. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. As Wanda said, we're just going to give you thanks. Lord, we thank you. You back up your name. Thank you, Lord. You back up your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. I was supposed to share this verse tonight. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Our God is the God of salvation. Lord, we thank you that you daily load us with benefits. Like in Psalm, you forgive all our sins. You heal all our diseases. You redeem our life from the pit. You renew our strength like that of an eagle's. Lord, these benefits, he's your beneficiary. You're the benefactor, Lord. And that you bring healing and wholeness and strength to Michael. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Gee whiz. Thank you, Lord.
But he's the lifter of your head, Michael. He is the lifter of your head. All right? Let him lift your spirit. Don't be downcast. Don't let this injury take you back to a place of doubting.
Come on.
Anything like that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
A big deal. Just a little faith. He can do a lot of that. All right? Let him lift up your spirit. All right?
Thank you, Lord.
In a place of feeling down, he doesn't want you to be down. He wants you to trust him.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You come stand up here, Michael. Come. What part of the back was hurting? Is it your right side or the whole thing? Come on, we just want to thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we're looking to you. Our faith is in you, in your name. And just like in Mark 16, God, the Lord was working with them. The Lord was working with them, doing these things. It's you. And we call upon the name. We release your name. We thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit with power to heal. Blessed be the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to receive that from my own back. Oh, I'll tell you what. You know what? I'm in on that, man. I mean, I'm going to get as close to where. Gee whiz. It's been torturous this past week, hasn't it, Rhonda? My wife, she endures. Oh, come on, Michael. We just want to thank you, Lord. What? I'm close to running. I skipped a little bit Sunday. Can you believe that?
I'm okay.
You're okay?
I'm okay.
Come on, dude.
I'm serious. I'm okay. I'm not joking.
He's not joking.
I'm not joking.
He's in the presence of the Lord.
I was just thinking, like, Lord, I'm not going to fake it. Like, not going to give a Curtis. Like, it's, something's got to happen. And I could not stand up straight walking in here. You ask, if Kristen was in here, she'd tell you I walked in the house like this this afternoon. I'm okay. Praise God.
Oh, man. Well, put your hand on my back.
Lord,
right there.
Healing.
Yeah, Raphael, I'm going to see. That's good.
Healing through his body right now in Jesus' name.
I'm receiving. Whew. Gee whiz. Oh. That's amazing. Come on, let's give the Lord thanks.
Thank you,
praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I love that.
Still there, but back is good. I'll take the back all day.
Oh, wonderful. Did you hear that, Kristen? Oh, glory. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Here, use this thing, please.
In Acts chapter 2, as the church was, the early church, talks about them continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. There are four elements involved in it. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. You know, we've lost the awe in our fellowships, but it's coming back. Coming back. And God's going to do some wonderful things.
Glory. Glory. Let the Lord be magnified who takes...
Don't give a Cajun the microphone, I'm going to tell you that. You never get it back.
You're a Cajun? Oh, man.
You know, as he was talking again about the needs and everything, what just kept coming to my mind again was the tabernacle. He wants to tabernacle among us. I mean, that's what he's always wanted. But you go back into, again this year, going through reading the Bible, starting in January to read it all the way through. But I always love when you get to the part of when they're setting up the tabernacle. God gave the plans. God gave every single detail. And there were people for every single part. Because when you minister in a body, that's not the only minister. Whoever's up here holding the mic is not the only minister. The ministry could be vacuuming. The ministry could be any little thing like Miss Shoney wanting to do. Why? Because it's all of us being a body, having a part of a family, of a fellowship. It just connects us together, and he knows that. But he always provides. One of the most beautiful stories to me, there's a lot of beautiful stories that you're hearing coming out of the revival with the Asbury College. But what I really loved was the picture and the videos that I saw of students in there. They're in there between classes. Some staff members, they're going through cleaning. They're sweeping. And they're praying over it at the same time. Did anyone ask them to? No. But there was a need and there was a hunger. They saw something happening and they wanted it good for those coming in. So they just got involved. And that's part of being a body. But we can go all the way back to those details. I mean, God, the tassels, the colors, I mean, every single bit of the tabernacle. And it all points back to him. Somehow it all points back to him because he wants a tabernacle among us. So it's all connected. And that's what he's going to do. The more everything is happening, it's not just right here. It's in our hearts. It's out here. It's all of us getting together. And He will continue to show us as he brings the people. He's going to bring it all in. And that's my heart's cry is, Lord, you're bringing the harvest. Bring the workers. He said, pray for the workers because it's coming. And that's where I was talking with a few of the ladies last week, and I'm not looking at what we don't have. My choice is to look at what he has and just ask him for it.
Let's turn that into a prayer.
Let's do it.
Let's pray this, okay? Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you so much for just giving a blueprint of what represents you tabernacling among us. And Father, we just bring that before you right now, that our prayers will be that sweet incense before you. Lord, just as you provided then, just as you have provided since then, church after church, movement after movement, we are just saying, Lord, provide. It's not about the numbers in our natural earthly mind. It's about what you want. Provide for what you are bringing in. Provide for the needs of the people. Provide for the needs of the congregation. Continue to provide the workers of the harvest, that the harvest will be so beautiful for us to give back to you. And we just thank you that you, even in this, are giving us an offering to give to you. For that is our heart. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Not yet. So, praise the Lord. Randy, come on up here, please. It's my buddy. I just feel we just need to pray for you, all right? And, just continued strength to walk in the will of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Lord. Anything you want to share real quick before we close tonight?
I can go ahead and pray, man. Thank you for that, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything you've been teaching, your knowledge, your wisdom, just everything, man.
Gee whiz.
Just thank you for everything, man.
Well, I didn't mean about me. I was just saying about but glory to God. That's a blessing. You encourage me. Lord, thank you for Randy right now. We, as a body, as family, Lord, we're asking you to strengthen his inner man, to continue to walk steadfastly in your will. Lord, to keep his tryst with you, his quiet, secret time, as you as his first love. And Lord, as you're empowering him, God, to release the word, as you would open doors, God, that you will put the word of the Lord in his mouth, that you create the fruit of lips, Lord, to be a witness, to encourage. We pray in the name of Jesus. Again, we commend him to you and the word of your kingdom that's able to build this young man up. In Christ, in Jesus' name, everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Randy. I really appreciate you. And you know what? One thing that happens when God continues to fill us with the Spirit, we're just so witnessing will become more natural. It just is going to overflow. So if you brought a tithe or your offering, y'all just, you know, put it in the basket, please, and God bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness in doing that. And all right, we're going to close. I'm glad you all came tonight. It wouldn't have been as good without you. Father, we just give you the glory, and just, wow, you touched Mike's back. Just like that scripture, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, you said. and the Father's glorified. You are glorified, Father, through the whole service, our songs tonight, your word, you led by your Spirit, and we just acknowledge you, we honor you, and I thank you. Lord, I just put your name on the people and say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace. And all that that means, soundness, health in every way. And the Lord is faithful, who will guard you from the evil one and from wicked people who don't have the faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you with all of that. Amen.